Hopefully this one will actually be recorded and not lost on an iPhone somewhere. But it's okay. Today we're actually doing our second installment of the series relating to tefillah as a woman. Whereas last week was a little bit more hashkafically focused on the general ideas of women in davening, tonight's shiur is going to be more focused on the halachic aspects of women davening, what our obligations are, where they stem from, how does it compare to men, how is it specific and unique to women, and how is it unique to each different stage of our lifetime. And hopefully we'll address lots of different stages throughout. And we're going to end, actually, with priorities in davening, because even though we'll discuss we really do have obligations to daven, at certain points in time, we are very limited with our time, and how should we go about davening in those, you know, very, very tight moments? What should be our priority, and in what order should we, you know, daven different things? So we'll start with the general obligation to daven in general, men and women. There are extra source sheets over here. And then we'll move on to women specifically, and then we'll go on to women's specific stages in life. So if you open up your source sheets to source number one, the source for the general chiyuv of davening upon everyone is actually in the Gemara in Tanis, Daf Bet Amud Aleph. And the Gemara asks, Umana lan d'tfila? Where do we learn the obligation for tfila? D'tanya, and it quotes a pasuk in Devarim Perek Yud Aleph, which is actually a quote from V'haya Im Shamoa. And the pasuk in V'haya Im Shamoa says as follows, as most of us will probably know by heart, La'ahava et Hashem Elokeichem u'la'avzo b'chol levavchem. That the requirement, the obligation to daven stems from the pasuk that commands us to love Hashem, your God, and to serve Him with all your heart. Ezo hi avoda shehi b'leiv. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean, u'la'avzo b'chol levavchem? What does it mean that we have to serve Hashem with all of our heart? It's an interesting concept, this idea of serving Hashem with our heart. What exactly does it mean? And the Gemara answers, Hevi Omer Zot Tzvila. What is Avodah Shebelev? This is a very, very famous Gemara. What is Avodah Shebelev? That's Tzvila. That's davening. The Rav explains that it's considered Avodah Shebelev because even though there's an action of davening, we have to recite the words, it is actually supposed to be, as we discussed last week, a reflection of what's going on in our hearts. We're really supposed to utilize the text of davening in order to express ourselves emotionally, in order to express what's going on inside. And therefore, the Gemara considers that to be the interpretation of Avodah Shebelev. Sorry, I gave you the original source in that they're quoting from the pasuk in source number two, which is actually, it starts with V'hayam Shamoan, and it continues with the Olav Zobachol Olavachem. So this Gemara really seems to imply that the obligation to daven is Doraisa, because it quotes a pasuk as a source for the obligation, and that's exactly what the Rambam holds in source number three. If you look in the Rambam in Hilchot Tzvila, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, he says Mitzvah Aseh Lehitpalel B'chol Yom Shene'amar Ve'avadtem Et Hashem Elokeichem. Is a Mitzvah Aseh Midoraisa to daven every day, as it says Ve'avadtem Et Hashem Elokeichem, which is a slightly different source than the one that the Gemara brings. Mipi Hashmua Lamdu Sha'avoda Zo Hitzvila. Right, and we learn that this avoda is specific to tefillah. Shne'amar u'la avdol b'chol levavchem, and we know that what is this avoda referring to? Well, it continues on in the pasuk that it's that we should serve Hashem with our entire hearts. Ruchachamim ezohi avoda shabalei zot tefillah. Now he quotes the Gemara that what is this avoda shabalei that the pasuk is talking about? This is tefillah. Ve'ein minyan hatzfilot min haTorah. Whereas the basic obligation to daven is midoraisa, we find the obligation of ulado b'chol v'avchem in the Torah, says the Gemara. Despite that, the specific requirements about tefillah, for example, the number of tefillot we daven per day, that's not from the Torah. That was determined by the Rabbanim later. That's all midorabanan. Ve'ein mishana hatefillah hazot min haTorah. Ve'ein letefillah zman kavua min haTorah. Right, and we don't have. Sorry, one second. Yeah, so basically the amount of tefillah we daven every day, the times that we daven every day, all the details, all the requirements were done later, but the basic chiyuv of davening, the idea of serving Hashem with our heart, that is d'oraisa. However, there are several other gemaras that seem to really state explicitly that tefillah is, even the chiyuv of tefillah, is entirely a d'rabanan obligation. Even the basic obligation is d'rabanan. And therefore, the Rambam disagrees with the Rambam. In his commentary to the Mishnah Torah, in Hasagot HaRamban, in his commentary to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot, the Ramban says as follows in source number four, V'ein haskama b'zeh, I don't agree with the Rambam here. He says, Shekvar be'aruach hachamim b'gemara tefillah d'rabbanan. Because we know, we find proofs from the Gemara that the Chachamim say explicitly, tefillah is entirely d'rabbanan. So then how does he explain our Gemara that gives us a source from the Torah as being the source for the chiyuv of davening? U'mashe darshu b'sifrei u'lavdo zeh talmud devar zeh talmud devar acher zo... Not devar acher. Now I can't remember what Dalet Aleph is. Zeh talmud. Okay. Zo tefillah esmachtahi. That the pasuk brought down by the Gemara that u'lavdo b'chol avalchem is referring to tefillah is an esmachta. What's an esmachta? An esmachta is basically the Chachamim's way of attaching a mitzvah or an idea to the Torah, not claiming that it's the source for our chiyuv, not claiming that it's the source for the halacha, but rather it's kind of like a hint that when we see this pasuk, we should be reminded of something, but it's not telling us that the source is in the Torah, it's just that the Torah gives us a hint to this chiyuv midirabanan. It's almost like lending greater import to what the Chachamim are saying. The Chachamim say, this is a chiyuv d'rabbanan, and we're telling you that you're obligated in this, and guess what? The Torah even hints to it. They're not claiming that the Torah is the source for it, but they give us an esmachta to show that what they're saying is really important. They didn't just totally make it up, they have a hint for it in the Torah, but that does not make it a d'oraisa chiyuv. It doesn't make it a Torah, the origin for the chiyuv is not in the Torah, it's just an esmachta, it's just a hint. V'ne'emar shehi mitzvah le'et hatzarot shena'am min shehu yibarach v'yitaleh shomei tefillah. Rather, says the Ramban, the only obligation min haTorah in terms of tefillah is tefillah be'et tzara. Tefillah be'et tzara is defined as davening from, at a point in crisis. When we're in crisis, then the Torah does tell us we have to daven to Hashem. V'hu amatzil, right, so that we express our belief that Hashem can hear and he is the one who can save us from the tzarot, b'tzvila uvazaka, as long as we call out to him b'tzvila and with screaming the havein zeh. So basically what the Ramban says, and this is a very, very famous machloket, Ramban, what the Ramban says is that he disagrees with the Ramban, whereas the Ramban believes that the chiyuv to daven every day comes from the Torah, just a matter of how many times we daven a day, what we should say when we daven, that all comes from d'rabbanan. The basic requirement is d'oraisa, once a day. The Ramban says no. The basic requirement to daven once a day is also d'rabbanan. The only chiyuv we have to daven midoraisa is when we're the etzara, when we're really undergoing a crisis. That's when we have to call out to Hashem. But everyday davening is really only d'rabbanan. That's the classic machloket Ramban. What about women? Where do women fit in? This is a general obligation, but we're going to see that the reason why I even brought it is because this machloket Ramban is going to affect how they understand women's obligation in tefillah as well. So if you turn to source number 5, we have the famous source for women's obligation, the source for women's obligation in tefillah, which is in Gemara Brachot, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, and continues on to Daf Chaf Amud Bet. And actually, the Mishnah begins and says as follows, Nashim v'avadim uktanim p'turin mikriyat shema u'min atfilin. Women, slaves, and children are patur, they're exempt from kriyat shema and from tefillin. We do not have the same obligation, or we don't have really any obligation to say it, whereas men do. We don't have any obligation to wear tefillin, whereas men do. The classic reason is because they're both mitzvot aseh shazman grama. These are mitzvot that are time-bound, and we know that according to the Chachamim, positive, time-bound mitzvot, women are exempt from, and slaves are exempt from, and, well, children are children. I don't really know why they have to. Children are usually exempt from everything because they're not old enough, but okay. But basically, we don't have to say Kriyat Shema because it's time-bound, although hold that thought because we're not entirely exempt on a practical level for another reason, so we'll get there soon. But from the perspective of positive time-bound mitzvot, Kriyat Shema and Tefillin fall into that category because Tefillin pertains to the weekday and not to Shabbos, so that's time-bound. Kriyat Shema is, there's Zman Kriyat Shema. We actually have to say, men have to say Kriyat Shema by a certain time every morning, so that's even more time-bound. V'chayavin, but they are obligated in the following three things. V'chayavin b'tzvila, u'v'mezuzah, u'v'verchan amazon. But women are obligated in davening, in mezuzah, and in benching. So we're told very explicitly here that we are obligated in davening. What's interesting is that mezuzah obviously is not time-bound. That's just a constant mitzvah when you're living in your home. The mezuzah has to be kosher and up. Benching is also not determined by a predetermined set time, but it's rather determined by our own schedules. When we eat, then we have to bench. So it's not really like, Shachar Smith Hamar of our morning, afternoon, and night. It's really determined by our own schedule. It's not considered to be a time-bound mitzvah. But tefillah, we know, is time-bound. Tefillah is shacharis mechamar. So how can we be obligated in it? So the Gemara comes to explain in the next line, Gemara v'chayavim b'tefillah derachamin minhu. Women are chayav in tefillah because it involves rachamin. Explain almost every single parshan or commentator on this Gemara, that women are in need of rachamim from Hashem, just like men are. There's no difference between the amount of rachamim that we need from Hashem. So because tefillah is the way that we can ask Hashem for rachamim, tefillah is our way of communicating with Hashem and bringing the rachamim down upon ourselves, there's no difference between men and women. And therefore, we're as obligated in tefillah as men. But the Gemara asks our question, but tefillah is a mitzvah seishas mangrama. We're told specifically in Tehillim that we're supposed to daven in the evening, in the morning, and in the afternoon. That sounds pretty time-bound. So basically what the Gemara is saying is that we might have thought that we're not obligated in tefillah because it's a mitzvah seishas mangrama, because it says in Tehillim, erev avoker v'tzarayim. And that's why the Mishnah comes to explicitly obligate women in tefillah, despite the fact that it's mitzvah seishas mangrama, because the rachamim in him. So basically what the Gemara is saying is that even though we might have thought that women are patur, or women are exempt from tefillah because it's a positive time-bound mitzvah, and we're exempt from all other positive time-bound mitzvot, the Mishnah is coming to tell us that despite the fact that davening is a mitzvah to say she'ez mangrama, it's a positive time-bound mitzvah, we are still obligated in it because we require rachamim from Hashem in the same way that men do. I should be clear, by the way, that in the terms of the Gemara, and the Chachamim in general, and everyone following, tefillah is very specific. It's not general davening, because otherwise, why are we exempt from Kriyat Shema and yet obligated in tefillah? If Kriyat Shema is part of tefillah in our language, so to speak, in the Gemara, tefillah is specific to Shmona Esrei. So I'm sorry that I wasn't clear about that in the beginning. Whereas women are exempt from Kriyat Shema because it's a mitzvah to say she'ez mangrama, we are not exempt from Shmona Esrei itself. So it seems pretty clear here that women are obligated in tefillah. There's really no question about that. The Gemara says it very explicitly. The question that arises and that ultimately feeds into another machloket is, what is the nature of our obligation in tefillah? What tefillah are we obligated in? Are we obligated in everything? What tefillah are we referring to? And we'll see that even though in general, in Chachamim jargon, tefillah refers to Shmona Esrei, we're going to see that there's another machloket, Ramban, Rambam. If you turn to source number 6, the Rambam explains in his in the second halacha of Hilchot Tefillah in the Mishnah Torah, Ulefichach nashim ve'avadim chayavim b'tefillah. He's basically summarizing the Gemara here. Women and slaves are obligated in tefillah. Lefi shehi mitzvah aseh shelo hazman grama. So here he differs from the Gemara, to the point that some say that he and the Rambam and the Rif might have actually had a different text of the Gemara. That they might have had a text that said shelo hazman grama as opposed to shazman grama. Because again, remember, according to the Rambam, the basic chiyuv of tefillah is midoraisa, and that basic chiyuv is once a day. There's no time, specified time, set by the Torah, by midoraisa, and therefore tefillah midoraisa is not time-bound at all, according to the Rambam. We have to daven once a day, every day, but that's it. There's no specific time. We can do it at any point in our lives. And therefore, he says, women are obligated in tefillah midoraisa because it's not time-bound. Elo chiyuv mitzvah zo kachu. And what is the chiyuv of this mitzvah? Sheyehe adam mitchanein umipalel b'chol yom. The tefillah that women are required to do is that she should daven something that has to do with tchina. Tchina is a supplication. So the Rambam holds that women are obligated in a short supplication every single day. That includes what? Umagid shvachol shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First we begin with shavach, with praise. Ve'achar kach shoel tzrachav shu tzarech lahem bevakasha. And then it continues with bakasha, which is the classic, which Shmona Esrei does also. We start out with shavach, we start out with praising Hashem. We continue with asking Hashem to fulfill our needs. Uvitzlina. Ve'achar kach notein shavach v'hodaya l'Hashem, ala tova sheishpia lo kolecha lefi kocho. And afterwards we thank Hashem for everything that He has given us according to our needs. Basically what the Rambam says is that whereas Chazal took this shavach bakasha hoda and created Shmona Esrei out of it, and we have a set text, that's not the basic requirement for women. The basic requirement for women is to once a day say a short supplication that includes Shevach, Bakasha, and Hoda'ah. Begins with a nice praise, continues with asking for specific needs, and then ends with thanking Hashem. Now, this is, again, like we said before, the Rambam seems to hold that this is the only that this supplication is our obligation b'tfila, because again, he holds that tfila, in essence, is midoraisa. There are no zmani kavur l'tfila, there are no anything like that. And therefore, it's just limited to the short supplication. How do we fulfill this? So, you can just make it up, right? We can just start out praising Hashem in our own language, or in Hebrew, or whatever language we prefer. Continue with asking Hashem for our needs and then thanking Him. Some women might feel more comfortable saying a set text that we know, or it might be easier to say a set text that we know. And what some Rabbanim have found is that Berachot HaShachar actually fulfills this, because we include Shavach, right? We praise Hashem for enabling us to open our eyes in the morning and to do all these things. And then if we say it through the end of the Yiratzon, we include requests for our needs and we thank Hashem at the end. And so if we, you know, according to what seems to be what the Rambam holds, which we'll say is not so clear, but what it seems to be that the Rambam holds according to this halacha and Hilchot Tefila, is that if we say Berachot HaShachar in the morning, we're kind of good to go for the rest of the day. Because it contains all three elements of Shevach, Bakasha, and Hoda'ah, of praise, requests, and thanksgiving, that the Rambam says is the nature of Tefila Midoraisa. However, it should be noted that whereas this seems to be, according to the Rambam, the skeletal obligation of women in Tefila, the Rambam actually makes comments in other places, such as his Perush L'Mishnayot, that really seem to explicitly state that women are obligated in Tefila, in Mitzvot Aseh Shehazman Grama, like Tefila, and Nerot Shabbos and Nerot Chanukah. Now, if the Rambam is characterizing Tefila here as a Mitzvah Aseh Shehazman Grama, as a positive time-bound mitzvah, along with the candles of Shabbos and the candles of Chanukah that we see, thanks Jenny for demonstrating for us, that we're about to do, women are obligated just like men are, and we obviously, one of our special mitzvot is to light the Shabbos candles, which does seem to be a positive time-bound mitzvah, because with Shabbos, even positive time-bound mitzvot are obligated, because we're obligated in the negative as well, and there's a hekesh there. But if the Rambam is saying that we're obligated in the positive time-bound mitzvah of tefila, he must not be referring to tefila d'oraisa anymore, because we know that he holds that's not time-bound. He must be referring to the derabanan obligation, which really seems to be beyond just the supplication that's d'oraisa. So it really seems that the Rambam himself holds that women are obligated in more than just this d'oraisa minimum. But we should keep this opinion in mind, because it is going to affect us practically a little bit later on. So the Rambam seems to hold that we're only obligated to say this short supplication that includes the three elements of tefila, midoraisa, although later on he doesn't really seem to limit us to that. The Ramban, because of his understanding of tefila as being derabanan in the first place, has a totally different take on the Gemara. And the Mishnah Berurah is the one who makes this very clear in source number 7. The Mishnah Berurah was written by the Chafetz Chaim, who lived in the 18th, 19th centuries. And the Mishnah Berurah says as follows, Dad haramban, sheikar mitzvah tefila hi midivrei sofer. Right, as we already discussed, according to the Ramban, he believes that tefila is really a derabanan chiyuv. The rabbis are the ones who really set the text, other than tefila be'it zara. Shehem anshei knesset hagdola shetiknu yudchad brachol. What does it mean that tefila is d'oraisa? What does it mean that according to the Ramban, tefila is derabanan? It means that anshei knesset hagdola developed the text of Shmona Esrei. Because that is the essence of tefila. Right, and as we saw in the context of the Gemara and everything like that, tefila really does refer to Shmona Esrei. That is the crux. That is the essence of tefila. We'll see a lot of things in the beginning of Shacharis are considered to be leading up to Shmona Esrei, and a lot of things at the end of Shacharis are really considered to be leading away from Shmona Esrei, because Shmona Esrei is the climax of tefila and really the essence of tefila midarabanan. Halaseda, right? They put 18 brachot together in order. Lehipalel tan shacharit u'mincha. Chova, the Arvit Rishut. And what Anshei Knesset HaGadolah determined, Terabanan, is that even for men and women, Shacharis and Mincha is a requirement. Marev is a Rishut. It began, according to Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, as an option. V'chein Ikar, and this is the main obligation according to Terabanan, according to Tefillah Terabanan, according to the Ramban, Ki Kein Da'at Rov HaPoskim. And this is what most poskim hold of. They hold of the Ramban's opinion. V'chein hechriya b'sefer shagat aryeh al-kein yish lihazhir b'nashim shi'palalu yudchet. And therefore, because most poskim accept the opinion of the Ramban, that tefillah is midarabanan, and that the ikara tefillah darabanan is shmona esrei. And the Gemara says that women are obligated in tefillah. Therefore, what is our basic obligation according to the Ramban? Our basic obligation according to the Ramban is shmona esrei. V'nachon gamkin sheikablu alein ol malchut shamayim. Okay, so that will continue on in a little bit. According to the Mishnah Berurah's interpretation of the Ramban, which, like he says, most poskim hold of, the basic obligation of a woman is to daven shmona esrei in shachris and in mincha. We'll skip the next few lines and we'll get back to them about Shema and about smicha geula letzvila. And at the end, the last two lines, the beginning of the line, he says, v'chol zeh l'inyan shachrit u'mincha. All of this obligation language has to do with shachris and mincha. About tefila arvit shehu reshut, afal pi she'achshav kfar kiblu aleihem kol Yisrael l'chova. Marav is a little bit different because Marav began as a reshut because it was connected to kabano ben harbayim, and that was something that wasn't as it was kind of like the leftover, so it wasn't as strong, let's say, as the chiyuv of shachris and mincha, which were connected to real karbanot. So it began as a reshut. However, men accepted it upon themselves to daven marav as a chiyuv. And that's why men have a chiyuv today of marav, because men have accepted it upon themselves. Women, throughout the Gemara, by the way, accepted lots of things upon themselves. This is an example of when men accepted something upon themselves. So even though marav started out as a chiyuv, as a reshut, as a something that they could do, but they didn't have to do, today it is considered a chiyuv because men have accepted it upon themselves as a chiyuv. Mikol makom hanashim lo kiblu aleihem. Still, we see that women never accepted that upon themselves marav as a real obligation. V'ruban in palalin arvit. So for women, marav is no longer an obligation. It never became an obligation. Those women who like to daven marav are encouraged to do so, but are also encouraged not to accept it upon themselves as a chiyuv. They're encouraged if they want to daven marav. And this is usually applicable with, you know, I know I used to daven marav back in the day when I didn't have anything else going on with raising a family. And it is very much encouraged that women can daven marav, but that they don't do it accepting it upon themselves as a chiyuv. That they recognize that this is a reshut, so that if they ever have to give it up, it won't be something like, you know, requiring hatar and nedarim or anything like that. Whereas men have a chiyuv in them. So that's according to the Ramban. But the basic chiyuv of tefillah is for us is to daven shmona esrei during shachris and during mincha. Marav is definitely not an obligation, although it's a beautiful thing to do. So that is basically the general obligation of women. However, as we all know, women go through different stages of our life. And one very significant stage of our life that really significantly impacts our ability to daven or the time that we have to daven is the stage in which women are actively raising young children, actively raising their family. And we see that many poskim are actually a lot more lenient with women in that stage of their life than with women who are, let's say, single or pre-children, or once their children have grown up to a certain extent that, let's say, they're all out of the house by a certain time, or they no longer need their mother in the same way that they used to. But just to spend a few moments on this stage of life, the son of the Chavetz Chaim, Rav Aryeh Leib, related the following. I didn't give it to you on your source sheet, so I'll just relate it. I mean, it was just quoted in English. My mother of... So this is talking about the Chavetz Chaim's wife. My mother of blessed memory hardly ever davened Shmona Esrei as long as we were under her care. She told me that my father had exempted her because of her constant involvement in raising children. So the author of the Mishnah Berurah, the Chavetz Chaim, it seems, told his wife that while she was actively raising her children, she did not have to daven Shmona Esrei. Where does this come from? We just saw, according to the Ramban, we are obligated, and the Mishnah Berurah himself says it, right? It's the Mishnah Berurah who says, according to the Ramban and most poskim, and this is how we hold, women are obligated in Shmona Esrei, and yet he told his wife that during the time of her life that she was raising children, she was not obligated. And so there are two possible explanations for this leniency that are given. The first is found in Sefer Halichot Bat Yisrael in source number 8. Sorry. Yeah. Flip over. Sefer Halichot Bat Yisrael says the following. And this is really like a quote. Uvesefer Kol Tomar Levet Yaakov, Amud Shloshim Katav. And then in another Sefer, Kol Tomar Levet Yaakov, he quotes Shamati Mehagri Kamenetsky Shlita. He's quoting now Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who said the following. She'isha ha-mitupelet ba-yeladim ktanim, a woman who is engaged in taking care of young children, yesh ladin mishamesh ha-chola shapatar mitzvila. The reason why the Chavetz Chaim was more lenient with his wife during her child-rearing years is because a woman taking care of children has the same din, has the same halacha, as someone taking care of the sick. right? And this is applicable to anyone, man, woman, who, if someone is actively involved in taking care of a sick person, they're considered to be patur from tefillah. They don't have to take care, they don't have to daven because they are taking care of a sick person. And then he adds in parentheses, what is the reasoning for this even? Why is someone who is osik b'chola, right? Someone who's mishamish b'chola, someone taking care of a sick person, exempt from davening? So there are basically two different options for the reason behind this comparison. The first is that, you know, the person taking care of the sick person is called an anus. Because of the situation he is in, he is forced not to be able to daven. There's no way he can daven. And similarly, a mother taking care of young children would be considered an anusa. She's in a situation where she literally cannot daven. She is forced, to be in that situation and is therefore unable to daven. But there's another approach as to why a person involved with the sick and also a woman taking care of children would be considered exempt from tefillah. And that is a very famous idea in halacha of osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. Someone who is involved in one mitzvah is exempt from another mitzvah. And so someone who is involved with taking care of the sick is considered to be involved in a mitzvah. Right, we have, forget about bikur cholim, but being mishamish cholim, but really taking care of the sick is a real mitzvah, and therefore, once they're busy with that mitzvah, they are exempt from another mitzvah. And so, too, you could say that because they have the same din, a woman raising her family is considered to be osek b'mitzvah, right? We have the mitzvah of chinuch, we have the mitzvah of raising our children and taking care of them, and therefore, because we're involved in one mitzvah, we would be exempt from the other mitzvah of tefillah. The Chazon Ish felt that there was a different, yes. Yeah, please.
So, in terms of, when you're so involved in raising children, where do you draw the line? I have a 6-month-old, right. And she takes 3 naps a day.
Exactly.
You know? So, when she's taking naps, I have dishes and lots of things for
right.
you. You know?
Yes.
But, should I be davening then?
Right, so that's a very good question. And the truth is, the book, Rikshe Lev, by Menachem Nissel, I don't know if you ever heard of it, but he goes into this whole thing of, let's say, she is involved in raising children, then she has a career for the purpose of her children. Is that considered part of it? What about housework? What about this? What about that? So he goes into that. Al Rebel Achad, I would say that, to take, and we're going to go through priorities, but to take 5 minutes to, or 7 minutes to daven Shmoneh Esrei, the 7 minutes of not doing dishes, technically that might apply then. There are things like Berachot HaShachar can be said doing light housework if you can actually concentrate. If you can't, concentrate basically. If you can't concentrate at all, then you shouldn't. But there are different halachot that pertain to that particular question, which I think is a really good question. But sometimes people feel so pressured that finally she's taking a nap, now I can take care of every other thing that I have to do. And sometimes that includes, job responsibilities or other responsibilities. And so I think that it's a much more weighted question that I can't pass saying that. I really think that that's worthy of a rabbi, of being very specific and asking, if she takes a nap, what are my obligations now? But I hope that towards the end of this year, we're going to get to priorities and that will at least partially answer your question in a way that makes sense to you in your own life. But in general, I would definitely tell you to consult a rabbi because I'm not one. Yeah.
I have another question which may or may not be answerable at this point. So how much of this is you should follow the obligation to daven, but maybe just not time bound.
What do you mean?
You're a young mother, you have little kids running around, so it might not be the right time to daven,
but good.
This is when you have the time.
Okay, good, absolutely. So the truth is that technically women who, let's say, are not involved in this stage of their life really should keep to Zmanei Tefillah, right? We should daven Kriyat Shema by Zman Kriyat Shema, we should daven Shmoneh Esrei by Zman Tefillah, which are the, I believe, third and fourth hours of halakhic hours of the day. However, there is a leniency with women and even those who are not in this stage that if you missed a Zman, we cancel daven until Chatzot. So that though ideally we should do it by the Zmanim, we have a leniency that men do not have really, unless they're sick or whatever, unless they have their own leniencies for a particular reason. But certainly women can daven Shacharis until Chatzot, and if they didn't, then they can daven Mincha. And there's always Tashlumin, even for men, there's Tashlumin. If you couldn't daven Shacharis for a real reason, not because you press snooze in your alarm clock too many times, but because you were really Mishamish Bechola or something like that, then there are ways to daven to Shmoneh Esrei during Mincha, etc. So Zmanim apply actually because of this, because the Rachamim in Hu, it's a time-bound mitzvah and the Zmanim apply. However, because we're women, we do have leniencies that men do not. So it's a very good question. Okay, so the Chazon Ish has a different reasoning, and again, like, there are going to be lots of questions that I won't be able to answer. I just kind of, you know, I did a lot of research, and the truth is I read up a lot of it, and some of it was last week, and I don't remember. And I am in that period of time where I'm raising children, and, you know, babies steal the brain, so I apologize. But I can also, Lena, circle back to you guys if you have any questions and you want me to ask, I can. Yeah, sorry, is that a hand, Jane? Oh, no, yeah, okay. I do that all the time. My students are, like, doing their hair, and I ask them if they have a question. Okay. So the Chazon Ish had a different reasoning for why women who are involved in the child-rearing stage are exempt from tefillah. And he actually felt it's because they couldn't have the right kavana. And, sorry, the proper level of kavana necessary for tefillah, in which case they are considered a truda. A tarud is someone who can't have the right kavana and is therefore actually exempt from tefillah. It's a very fascinating halacha. If you look in source number 9, the Rambam explains it in his Hilchot Tefillah Perek Dalet, and he says, Kavanat halev ketzad. What does it mean that we have to have kavana during tefillah? Kol tefillah, excuse me, she'ena b'kavana, ena tefillah. Okay, there's a halacha that tefillah that is davened without kavana is not considered tefillah. Last week we actually mentioned this. The Rav mentions this also. Tefillah is unique in its requirement for kavana. Every mitzvah tzricha kavana. Every mitzvah really requires a certain amount of intention. But tefillah is a step beyond that. If there's no intention, it's as if you haven't davened. Well, we'll see. That doesn't actually apply nowadays because we're not on that level anymore. But certainly at its basic requirement, tefillah requires a certain level of kavana beyond every other mitzvah. Because every other mitzvah, if you do it without kavana, it's still considered to be the mitzvah is fulfilled, whereas tefillah is not. Ve'im hipalal b'lo kavana chozer mipalal b'kavana. And someone who has davened without kavana should actually go back and redo it with kavana the second time. Which is loaded, because those are lots of brachol of atala, technically, that would be said. But the Rambam is saying it's not a brachol of atala because it's as if it wasn't said the first time. It's as if you're saying it for the first time when you say it with kavana. Matza da'ato mishubesha velibo tara. But let's say you find yourself and you're very bothered by something. Right, that you're very confused about something and you're bothered and you just don't feel that you can have kavana right now, even though Zman Tzvila is about to pass and you won't be able to fulfill your chiyuv. Asur lo lehipalel asher tichashev da'ato. If a person finds that he will not be able to have kavana, he cannot daven, which is really an amazing, amazing halacha if you think about it. Lefichach, and now he gives an interesting example. Habam ben haderech v'hu ayef, someone who has traveled and is tired. O meitzar. Asor lo lehipalel, someone who has traveled and is very tired or is in like a crisis, he actually can't daven asher tichashev da'ato until his mind becomes relaxed. Amru chachamim yishesh shlosha yamim asher yanuach v'tikarer da'ato v'achar kach yipalel. A person should actually wait up to 3 days to calm down until he davens. Says the Shulchan Aruch, though, this is a little bit, you know, extreme for us today, because we're not that holy that we can have kavana, that strong, you know, that meaningful kavana every single time. So in source number 10, he says, V'achshav einanu nizharim b'chol zeh. Today, we're really not careful about this. Mipnei she'einanu mekavnim kol kach b'tzvila, because we don't reach that level of kavana anyway. So we're not going to really not daven if we don't have the right kavana, because even when we do daven, we don't have the right level of kavana. However, Rabbi David Sperling explains, Rabbi David Sperling is a rav at Nishma, at the women's program at Nishma. He actually came to present at the academy a few weeks ago for the program, and he wrote an amazing article that you can find online called Women in Prayer in like Limited Time or something like that. And he said that according to the Chazon Ish must hold that the women did not take upon themselves what the Shulchan Aruch, the stringency of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? The Shulchan Aruch basically says that we are stringent to daven anyway, even if we don't have kavana. So Rav David Sperling says that the Chazon Ish must hold it that only applies to men. That women never took upon themselves to daven anyway. And therefore, women in the stage of life, you know, during the time of raising children, will probably be trudot. They will probably be so distracted and so bothered by so many little things like where the bottles are, that they won't be able to daven properly with the proper kavana. And therefore, they are actually exempt. Just like the Rambam says, you're not supposed to daven without the right level of kavana, so the Chazon Ish must hold that we are held to that standard, which is really interesting. What is important to keep in mind, even according to these poskim, who are more lenient with women during this stage of their lives, is that as soon as the situation changes, we go back to our basic obligation of davening Shmona Esrei at least twice a day, And that means even if the kids are on, you know, at the grandparents' house for the weekend. It's not just when all the kids are in school, which it definitely begins to apply. But it's even, you know, I'm going to Israel with my husband next week without my kids. I will hopefully be davening every day because I will have no reason not to. This is really dependent on the particular situation at the given moment. And it's not like a blanket exemption for 10 years of your life or something like that. It really depends on where you are at that moment. Now what I would like to do actually is hand out a really handy chart that appears in Rik Shei Lev. Rik Shei Lev is a sefer about, as I introduce it, I'll give it out. Rik Shei Lev is actually a sefer written by Rav Menachem Nissel, who teaches at the Chalah and other seminaries as well. Sorry, do you want to keep me passing? I'll just give you a bunch. And he wrote a sefer called Rik Shei Lev, which is basically a book about women and tefillah in terms of the hashkafa and in terms of the halacha. And he has this really handy chart that I just wanted to share with you guys. And at the back, there's a poem that I found inspirational when I was literally in fifth grade, and I still remembered it to find it online to share with you. So hopefully it will inspire you as well. And this is where I wanted to end, which is that sometimes we're pressed for time, even if we're not in that stage of life where we're constantly raising children. And how does that apply for everyone? What do we do in that situation when, you know, we really are pressed for time? Now, on the one hand, you know, I heard a shir which said, you know, a woman has a career and has to squeeze in davening, and that's not easy. Well, so do men, and men still go to minyan. So, you know, that is an approach that, just like men have to find the time, so do we. However, I guess because the nature of women's obligation is slightly different, there are a lot of... I actually found this in Rik Shei Lev and in Rabbi David Sperling's article. There are ways that we have to prioritize what we can and can't do and how much we can do in a certain amount of time. And so in terms of priorities of tefillot, you can look at the chart, you know, to be handy. This is not the only opinion. Rabbi Sperling actually had a slightly different order of priority, but this is easy. So I gave it to you. It's just like an easy, you can cut this out even and paste it, fold it, and put it in your sitter. I know I did that at a certain point. And he tells you what the basic requirement is when you have the least amount of time. And on, when you have a little bit more time and a little bit more time, how much you should add. His first edition actually had the amount of minutes. If you have 5 minutes, this is what you should do. If you have 10 minutes, this is what you should do, and so on, until I think he got to 30 minutes. And I guess he was given feedback that not every woman davens, you know, the same amount of time. And so he just went from less time to more time, and so it becomes more individual, and we kind of have to determine it for ourselves. But basically what I kind of try to combine the lists in a clear way. And what it seems to be is that if we have the least amount of time, which it does not even appear in this chart, we can rely on that opinion in the Rambam that we're really only obligated midoraisa to have a short supplication that includes shevach, bakasha, and hoda'a, that includes praise, request, and thanking Hashem, because that's the minimum requirement of tefillah deoraisa according to the Rambam, according to some interpretations of the Rambam. So yeshal milismoch, if we really have 1 minute, we can really do it in 1 minute. Like we said, that can be accomplished by saying Berachot HaShachar. So that is possible. The next level up, the next most basic requirement that we have in terms of priority in our davening is the Shemona Esrei. Again, if we have 5 minutes, most of us can daven a 5-minute Shemona Esrei, even though we may want to daven longer or some of us might be shorter. The general gist is, if you have a few moments, Shemona Esrei is the most important. That really does include both Shacharis and Mincha, ideally. Because this was according to the Ramban, the minimum requirement of prayer according to the Ramban is actually davening Shemona Esrei during Shacharis and Mincha, so that is the second priority. Now, it should be noted that the list of priorities here are not necessarily said in the order of the sitter, so you don't say it in terms of the order that's listed here. You take what the amount that you can say, and then you go in the order of the sitter. So that the next thing, for example, is Berachot HaShachar. Even though it's number 3 on this list, my list, you shouldn't daven Shemona Esrei and then say Berachot HaShachar. You should say, if you have time for both, then you say Berachot HaShachar and then Shemona Esrei. It's just something to keep in mind. The next requirement after Shemona Esrei is Berachot HaShachar. I won't go into all these sources. All the sources are in the last part of the source sheet, sources 11 to 16, but I don't want to take all your time, and I'd rather give you the information, because if you want to, you can look at the sources on your own. But the Shulchan Aruch does say, very clearly, talking about Berachot HaShachar, that man should say Shelo Asani Oved Kochavim, and then the Ramah Kama said it's really Shelo Asani Goy, and continue Shelo Asani Aved, Shelo Asani Isha, but a woman should say Shasani Kirtzono. And Rav Sperling explains that based on the Shulchan Aruch, he seems to be assuming that women and men have the same obligation in Berachot HaShachar. If he's saying that men say this and women say this, and he's equating the two, it's just that we say different things, then we must have the same obligation in Berachot HaShachar. There's also an opinion, a pretty strong opinion, I believe, that women are required to say Berachot HaShachar before eating anything in the morning. Very strongly related to the idea that Berachot HaShachar fulfills our Doraisa obligation in Tefillah. And because, just like a man is not really supposed to eat until after he davened, so too a woman. But because a woman, like Me'ikar Hadin, according to some, Midoraisa, because Berachot HaShachar can fulfill our chiyuv, our obligation of davening, we don't have to wait until we finish all of davening in order to eat, but we should at least wait until after Berachot HaShachar. So Berachot HaShachar is definitely next up right after Shmona Esrei, in terms of doing when time is short. Right after that is Berachot HaTorah. After Berachot HaShachar is Berachot HaTorah. The Shulchan Aruch actually says explicitly in source number 12 that women are required to say Berachot HaTorah. And the Be'er Halacha there explains that it's because women are actually required to learn about the mitzvot that are pertinent to their lives, and therefore, and before you learn anything in Torah, you have to say Berachot HaTorah. The blessing is on the Torah, so we have to say Berachot HaTorah as well. And Rav Sperling adds, he happens to be the Rabbi in Nishmat, which is a women's learning program, that of course women who are going to be learning more than just the mitzvot that are pertinent to their lives should certainly say Berachot HaTorah as well. Then comes the first pasuk of Shema. And this is where I was going to go back to that Mishnah Berurah, but we're not going to go back to it now. But even though the Mishnah actually explicitly states that we're exempt from Shema because it's a mitzvah asei she'ezman grama, the Be'er Halacha actually explains that, actually no, it's the Shulchan Aruch who explains that even though we're technically exempt because it's a time-bound mitzvah, it's still important for a woman to accept the yoke of heaven upon ourselves. We know that the statement of Shema, just the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is considered to be Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, where we accept the yoke of heaven upon ourselves. So says the Shulchan Aruch that even though technically we're exempt from Kriyat Shema because it's a time-bound mitzvah, on the other hand, Kriyat Shema is accepting upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, and it's appropriate for women to say. And the Rama adds that, it's the first pasuk of Shema, and also Baruch Shem Kivon Malchuto Liolam Va'ed, which is pretty short as well. So far, Berachot, if you're very limited in time, and again, you can just say Shmona Esrei, if you have a little bit more Berachot HaShachar and Berachot HaTorah, a little bit more, we say the first pasuk of Shema, and Baruch Shem Kivon Malchuto Liolam Va'ed. And then right after that, if you have a little bit more time, are the Berachot of Emet V'Yatziv and An, between Kriyat Shema and Shmona Esrei. And the reason for this is actually because of there are two reasons. The Mishnah Berurah in source number 15 says that saying these brachot following Kriyat Shema actually help us fulfill two mitzvot. The first is the mitzvah of Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim, remembering the going out of Mitzrayim, which is something that is incumbent upon all of us to do all the time. It's not time-bound, and this is a great way of fulfilling that mitzvah. And two, there's a really important halachic requirement of smicha geula letzvila, that right before we daven Shmona Esrei, we mention geula, Barachat Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. And so the brachot right after Kriyat Shema before Shmona Esrei help us fulfill two really important mitzvot, and so that is the next in line in terms of priorities. And because we're chayav in tzvila, right, like the Gemara says, we are really obligated in tzvila, we should also take upon ourselves this, we're also really chayavot in smicha geula letzvila, in connecting the geula to tzvila. We're not as obligated, by the way, in the brachot before Kriyat Shema, because as the Shulchan Aruch says, we're not obligated in Kriyat Shema, so we're not obligated in its brachot. Only the brachot afterwards, because of these two reasons. Finally, and not really finally, there's a lot more, but I'm going to go a lot quicker after this. After that, if we have a little bit more time, we should say Baruch Shamar Ashrei Nishtabach. Why? Because these are the three key components of Psukei Dezimra. And as the Mishnah Berurah explains in source number 15, Psukei Dezimra are actually considered to be preparation for Shmona Esrei. They're the Shevach that leads up to Shmona Esrei, that leads up to the praising of God, that leads up to our encounter with God during Shmona Esrei. And therefore, if we're obligated in saying Shmona Esrei, we should really be obligated, the Mishnah Berurah says, we are obligated in saying Psukei Dezimra. And because these are the big three key components, we're obligated to say these three. Although there are those who disagree that we're not obligated in Psukei Dezimra, and that's why this comes a little bit later on the priority list, because you are relying on some opinions if you don't say it. If we have more time, yes?
I thought there was an obligation to say Ashrei three times.
Yes, okay, good. So it's not an obligation. That's someone who's praiseworthy. Someone who says Ashrei three times is praiseworthy. I don't believe it's an obligation, but the Gemara mentions that, which is why later on we're going to be told to say Ashrei before Aleinu. The Ashrei after Shmona Esrei is going to come before, let's say, Tachanun, or something like that because of that Gemara.
And go I never ahead. Understood why Elenu, I feel like, is kind of rejected here. And it's such an important
yes.
tefillah because it's in our Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
It's interesting.
And if it's right there in the heart of our Shemona Esrei there, why aren't we giving it more credit on
go
a
ahead.
Daily basis?
It's a good question. You know, specifically how it refers to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, it appears in the Malchiyot, which is almost like Kabbalat Ol Melechet Shemayim. So you could say you fulfill that with Kriyat Shema, and the Kriyat Shema is more important than Aleinu, although I don't know. That's just the first thought that comes to my head. I would have to ask. I do have a comment on Aleinu, and that also comes even before Ashrei, but not before all of these things, because of the halachic literature that engages, addresses women's obligation in these things, whereas the halachic literature actually does not address Aleinu. And therefore, they really do base it on the sources that they find. Yes?
I don't know. There's a beautiful chart in the Art Scroll Women's Center that combines what you're saying and what's on this.
Yes.
It also is an English introduction, and
great.
It has every single page number on Shabbos and every day. I just, when I saw that, it was just like,
that's great. I should have looked at that. You know, half my Sarim are in hiding right now, are in my garage. So I didn't have access to everything, but thank you.
Yeah.
That's a great resource. I appreciate
yeah.
that. Okay, thank you. And then finally, actually, this is interesting. The Halalukas come after Baruch Shemar, Asher, and Shemona Esrei. And actually, there's an order. If you have a little bit of time, you say the last Halalukah. Then that's number 5. Then number 3. Then numbers 1, 2, and 4. Which is interesting. Then V'yahavta, which is the second paragraph of Shema. Followed by V'hayam, Shemoa, and V'yomer.
I thought it was...
Could you say the
Halalukas would come before?
Sorry. Yeah, it's very interesting. But Psuki Dezimra actually has a requirement aspect because we're obligated in Tefillah, which is Shemona Esrei, and Psuki Dezimra is considered a preparation for Tefillah. We're considered to be obligated in Psuki Dezimra, whereas the second and third paragraphs of Shema are not an obligation. We're specifically exempted from it, according to the Mishnah, so they're not going to obligate it more than Psuki Dezimra. It's not necessarily logical or intuitive, which is why I'm going through it. So then comes V'yahavta, then V'yam Shema, and V'yomer. Then the Berachot Kriyat Shema that precede Kriyat Shema. Then the rest of Psuki Dezimra, like all those other paragraphs that are not the Halalukas or Baruch Sha'amar Asher and Yishtabach, then Aleinu, which is interesting. And Rav Sperling explains that ending the service with Aleinu is of great importance, so we should try to do that, but it's obviously not more important than anything else, which is interesting. Finally, Ashrei, because the Gemara praises he who davens Ashrei 3 times a day, which would be twice in Shacharis and once in Mincha, then Uval Etzion, and then everything else. And Rav Sperling says very explicitly that from Tachanun and on is optional for women and not obligatory, including Aleinu. It's optional. Now, it's beautiful to say it. If you can say an entire tefillah every single day, that's ideal. But it's just important to note that, you know, I think what I think is nice about this whole thing is that, you know, the halacha acknowledges that we're busy. They acknowledge that even though we have the same obligation as men, we still have a different obligation as men. It's a little bit different. And so they help us by giving us priorities. I hope that the chart that I gave you is helpful, and maybe I'll just end with a 1 minute going through this poem just because I think it's so beautiful. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, for the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys of the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. I still remember this from literally hanging on the wall of my fifth grade classroom because it really is an amazing thing. You know, we spent a lot of this year talking about what if I don't have time, what if I don't have time. But what really is important to keep in mind is that we should try to make the time. Tefillah is a priority. As we've seen from the beginning of this year, it really is an obligation upon us, at least Shemona Esrei, which is something that I don't know that everyone here was aware of, and it's something that I think is important to keep in mind. And I hope that we all at least are able to take the idea of the importance of tefillah and apply it to our lives by at least adding something that we didn't do before and starting little and then, you know, taking baby steps can hopefully ultimately change our entire schedule, our entire outlook. Because like we discussed last week, it's the connection to God that tefillah enables us as women to have and the ability to express ourselves to the divine, which is really something incredible if you think about it. And so even though our obligation is different and it's less, and you know, it's still something to try in its ideal form, again, you know, even though, you know, because we have so much to do, it's something that we really should try to take the time to do. So thank you so much all for coming. I hope that this has